I got to be on the tech team. It's a little scary. You can have a seat. I'm Rusty, pastor here at New Hope, and whether you're on campus with us or watching online at home or later in the week on demand, I'm really glad we get to be here together. This is, I think everything we do is important, but when we have baptism, it reminds us of what the church uniquely gets to do. There's good news that we have a chance to let others know, and when people make a decision to accept Jesus, we get to celebrate with them. So this is, and plus I get to wear shorts, so you can't beat that. A lot of different backgrounds and a lot of different experiences. So I want to explain what baptism is before we have 10 people being baptized this service. We had 3 at 9. We let people pick, and my thinking is a lot of them said, well, I want my family to come, and they're not going to be here at 9, so give me 11. But baptism, there are really two things that Jesus gave his church to do, ceremonies. One is the Lord's Supper or communion. We do that every so often. In fact, we did it last weekend here. And then the other is baptism. Baptism is one of those things you only need to do once. And it's when someone's made a decision to accept Jesus as their Savior and their leader, then baptism is a way of publicly showing that that happened. When Becky and I got married, we exchanged vows and then we exchanged rings. The ring is a symbol of the commitment we made. And that's the way baptism is. Baptism doesn't save anybody. We're using Fairfax County tap water. It's nothing special about that. One person did ask me, is the water clean? Yes, of course it is. We actually have a little thing floating in it. And it's warm, so it's great. But I'm going to explain what it is. We have this tub that we bring out. And the word baptized, in the Greek, it means to dip. And so there are two pictures you're going to see when people are baptized. One is they're going to go all the way under the water, and we'll bring them back up. And that's the picture, the most important picture, and that is the basis of our faith. The basis that I know I have had my sins forgiven and I'm saved is because of what Jesus did for me. He lived, he died, was buried, and then he was resurrected. That's the bottom line for us. The second thing is, it's a picture of my new life. I have decided, because I've accepted Jesus, that I'm going to bury my old life, and I'm going to be raised to live this new life with him being my leader. Perfectly? No. Progressively and growing? Absolutely. You're going to see different people baptizing. You got family members, you got parents, you've got friends, you even have a pastor doing it. The Bible doesn't say who should baptize. And what we believe is important is that we ask the people getting baptized, who has been a big influence in your life? Who has helped you come to this point of accepting Jesus? And we let them choose who's doing it. So it's really cool when you have a parent or a friend that has been a big influence being a part of that. And we have a godmother that is also baptizing. So you're going to see you're going to hear some stories, but you're going to be seeing some pictures of lives that have been being transformed. So what I'd like to do is I'm going to pray, and then you're going to watch, you're going to hear some stories. And maybe while we're doing that, you might be thinking, what is God saying to me? Have I identified as a follower of Jesus? And if not, we'd love to talk to you about baptism sometime. If you are, what are you doing to help others come to this point of recognizing their need for him? Let's pray. God, this is a day you anticipated a long time ago. Each of these people being baptized, you've known them, you've pursued them, you love them. And what a privilege it is that we get to be a part of them telling their story. So we pray that this will be a great milestone for all of them and all of us. In Christ's name, amen. We're walking very carefully because the floor is wet, and there's nothing less cool than slipping in front of a bunch of people. So we'll tidy up later. I hope you understand what we just got a glimpse of. There's a God that is working. He's very, very busy around us. And there are all kind of things he's doing. Sometimes we miss it. I read the Washington Post this morning. They didn't mention anything about what God's doing. But he is active, and when we have baptisms, we get to look back at some of these stories, and it is really, really a privilege. At New Hope, we have it's a pretty simple mission, and we've decided this is what we're going to do, and everything we do, we hope to filter it through this mission statement. Some of you are in businesses that have mission statements, or in the military, you know, this is what we're supposed to be doing. It's a yes to this thing, and it's a no to a lot of other things, maybe good things, but most important thing is let's get this right. In this series, we were looking at a passage that I'm going to repeat to you. A letter in the New Testament, it says, "Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings." Jesus Church, we've been called to do this, finding common ground with everyone around us. Our culture says always look for the battleground. Find out what you think is wrong with someone else, what's different about them, what you don't like. Let that be your focus. And we have done a good job in our country making sure everyone's angry and frustrated and on the lookout to catch somebody else screwing up. There are a lot of people screwing up. I'm one of them. But that's not what we've been called to do. We're to find common ground. Everything we do at New Hope, we try our best to do it. Let me show you this. Boykin, if we can show this video. This is from summer camp this summer. We had every day of the week for 9 weeks, we had 160 kids here. And we had two of the counselors that decided they wanted to get baptized during camp. And so they got to tell their story, just like you heard. JC just did her story. They would tell their story, and then they would be baptized. We don't force anyone. We have a lot of people that come to our camp for all kind of reasons. But we have a mission, and we want to do our best in a winsome way to communicate what really matters. Does God care? Is he involved in our lives? Even if I'm far from him, can I still see evidence of him pursuing me? We had a story told at the 9 o'clock service of a guy that in 2 days it'll be his 1-year anniversary of becoming a follower. But he had become an agnostic and an atheist. And then he said, after a while, I realized that God was pursuing me. "Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings." Those of you that are part of New Hope, whether you give, whether you've served, you had a part of the stories at 9 o'clock and then in this service too. We get to see what families do when they're living out their faith as honestly as they can, day to day, day in and day out. We see the impact of friends and others that get involved. We see the impact of leadership too. But God is working, and he's called us to be his partners. It is a huge privilege and a great responsibility. And if we ever get sidetracked from this, if we go with the culture's route and we just look for battleground, we're going to have to answer for it one day. So you might be thinking, well, I don't have anything in common with, and you list the groups you don't have anything in common with, and I'm going to argue with you about it. Every one of us on planet Earth were created in God's image. Everyone on planet Earth. And therefore, what we have in common is this image of God. Some of us have hidden it pretty well. Some of us have done all kinds of things. But still, being created by God, we have this in common. And being created in his image, there's a beauty about that. Don't miss it. In all the wars that go on in our culture, you're talking all about those people and these. Look. Everyone was created in God's image, and therefore they are worthy of being afforded some dignity. Doesn't mean you have to agree with everything. Not at all. But you can still show dignity and respect to people, even if you disagree with them. So we have that in common. Now, there's some things that we also have in common we don't like to talk about, and that is there's beauty created in God's image, but there's also brokenness. Every one of us. Some of us pride ourselves in it. Well, I haven't ever done that. Yeah, but there's a lot of other stuff you've done. Well, I would never do that. Oh, you don't know. I believe personally, every one of us is capable of absolutely any sin under the sun given the right circumstance and opportunity. There's some of us that pride ourselves because they haven't done something, but man, we've thought about it. And the reason we didn't do it, quite honestly, we didn't want to get caught. I had a friend that told me that he wanted to get rid of his son-in-law. Didn't like him, didn't think he deserved to breathe any more of the air supply, apparently, that's becoming short. And he said, I would love to put him away permanently, 6 feet under. And the only reason he hadn't, he said, is I just don't want to go to jail. I don't know that you get much credit for that. Now, granted, he didn't kill the person, but the attitude was still there. It was hate, it was unforgiveness, it was bitterness. All of us have this. There's beauty because we're created in God's image. There's brokenness because of our own sinful, self-centered way. And then there's Jesus, who gives us really, really good news. And that good news is it's good for every one of us that will listen to it. That he loves us in spite of that. That he pursues us in spite of our running away from him. And if we will turn and listen and accept, he will take us as we are and begin to change us from the inside out as we become his children. I want to read one more passage for you. I've had people say before, well, how should I be praying for these new believers? And I would say it'd be the same way we need to be praying for each other and for ourselves. This is a prayer from the New Testament. It's a pastor talking to his church, and he goes, and we pray that you will be strengthened in all of God's glorious power so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. I'm going to repeat that one. Pray that you'll be strengthened with all of God's glorious power so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. There's a ton of good news in this. What it's telling us is if I'm a follower of Jesus, whether I'm new or I've been around a long time, God has given me his power in my life. The moment someone accepts Jesus, they have his Holy Spirit living in them. And I now have the power to live a brand new life. And you might think, well, that's really exciting. There's a lot of things I'd like to do with that new power. And the next thing it says, so that you will have all endurance and patience. I don't know how often you do, but I very seldom pray that God would come through for circumstances that are going to require me to be enduring and patient. I'm asking just the opposite. God, would you make my life easier? Would you change this person? Because they're really a pain sometimes. Will you give me more money so I'll be happier? Endurance means that I'm going to handle circumstances that are tough and honor God in the midst of it. Patience, the word patience here really, it literally in the Greek, it means to hang in there. It means that God's given me the power to live in a broken world, to live this new life, and he's going to give me the capacity to do it well, even if it's tough and difficult, there's injustice, there's unfairness and all. He's going to give me the ability to live this new life because he wants me to do it well and to honor him in the process. Anyone can do okay when things are going fine. Watch the games today. Every team that wins, yay us. We're great. Every team that loses, who knows? It was the refs. It was the weather. It was the coach. It was somebody's fault. God gives us his power so we can live honestly and with integrity in a broken world and learn to deal with our own brokenness and find healing. It says, too, that we can be filled with joy and thanksgiving. followers of Jesus should be known as the most thankful and the most joyful people on the planet. If this news really is good, that God loves us in spite of ourselves, he's been willing to wash away our sin, to forgive us, we have a brand new life now and forever, we should be filled with joy and thanksgiving. And that should be what we're known for, not what we're against, who we hate. But there's a God that loves us and a God that in spite of ourselves, he came to rescue us. And when we found him, we've been given a new life. And we've been given this new life that we can live out loud with and share with others. We've moved from the darkness into light. And if you're a follower of Jesus, there's an inheritance you and I have been given that we get the taste of now. And then when life wraps up, when we have our heavenly homecoming, it's going to be unbelievable. Between now and then, we have work to do. We've been given the privilege and responsibility of sharing this good news, to show it by how we live, and to tell it when we have an opportunity, always with respect, but never hiding it, never pretending. I hope that today, if you're a follower of Jesus, you'll see that being able to be a part of these baptisms, to watch it, it should be inspiring. Not just about those people being baptized, but we get to be part of it. Some of you that have worked in our children's area, you worked at camp, or you're friends of the family, or you've in different venues, like the landing. And you'll be able to see over time how God is working to reach people so that they can go from being far from him to being with him and his family. Some of you may be thinking, I don't need God. You're not alone. A lot of people think that. But over time, you begin realizing that without him, something, actually a lot of things are missing. We were created to have that relationship with him. I hope you'll let God use this as an inspiration and a challenge and an encouragement. Let's pray together. God, not just for those that were baptized in this service and at 9 and for their families, but for all of us. God, please, please help us to see what is real and what is true. Forgive us for buying into the cultural mindset of always looking for problems and confrontation and criticism and hatred and anger. There are a lot of things that are wrong in our world, no question, but without you, we're not going to cure any of them. Help us to do our best to find the common ground with others so that we can share with them the good news that can change them and anyone that comes to know you. I pray that you would embolden us to live our faith out loud. When we blow it, to ask forgiveness of those that we've harmed. And when we do well, not to brag about ourselves, but to talk about the one that has inspired us to live a different kind of life. I pray that you would speak to all of us, and we'd hear your voice, and that we would do everything we can to respond by saying yes to you. God, we love you, but thank you so much for loving us. In Christ's name, amen. Let me just mention a handful of things. When you came in, did everyone get one of these cards when you came in? Yes, no, yes, no, yes. Well, those of you that got one, great. We don't like the rest of you. That's why we didn't give you one. No, but if you got the card, there are a handful of things coming up we don't want you to miss. One is that we're starting a church-wide series next weekend, Created a Dream. It's based on a book. It's really, we're trying to help people see, I wonder what God wants to do in and through me. And so we're going to be working at that together 7 weeks. We're starting some small groups for people that aren't in a group. 7 weeks. We'll be glad to help you find a group. So really hope you'll check this out and be a part of it with us for these weeks. The second thing is we have a women's conference coming up Saturday on relationships. If you're a woman and you're not signed up for it, this is for you. We really like it. We've got a phenomenal women's ministry here, and we hope you'll check that out. And then the third thing is, if you'd like to stay current with what's going on with us, get our app on your phone. It's both Android or Apple. It's the easiest way to stay on top of what's going on. We don't want you to miss anything. And I'm just so proud of everybody that worked today. There were a lot of moving parts to do this baptism thing, and a lot of moving parts. And the good news is you didn't get to see a lot of that, but I'm just so proud of our team for being flexible, working to make sure it happens. We don't take up an offering right now, but if you want to support what we do, you can find out about that using their app, or we have drop boxes here. But everything you do in supporting us is going toward us having more and more baptisms. So for that, thank you very much.